fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Wemby Mania sweeping the National Basketball Association. Wemby, the shortened nickname of Victor Wembanyama, the recent number one overall pick by the San Antonio Spurs in the 2023 NBA draft.
Can't really describe it, you know, still fresh. One of the best feeling of my life, you know. Probably the best night of my life. I've been dreaming about this for so long. It's a dream come true.
For some Wemby analysis, I'm joined now by my friend and colleague, Mukbil Yabarow. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny.
Mukbil, for someone out there who hasn't seen Wemby play, they don't know his size, his skills. How would you describe him?
If you were to describe him, I think you would say that he most likely is going to be the tallest player playing in the NBA next year. And when we think tall, sometimes we think Boban. We don't think necessarily agile, doesn't really have a dribble per se. But this kid is... he's a unicorn, honestly, to say the least. You know, 7'4" with probably like an 8-foot wingspan. He has a good handle for the ball. His touch is amazing around the basket and beyond. His three-point shooting is stellar. He's got a nice stroke. I believe he even participated in a three-point all-star contest in Europe for his team, Metropolitans 92. And at one point, he scored like four or five straight. So it goes to show you his shooting is really good as well. He is going to be a staple for this new San Antonio Spurs rebuild.
There is some concern about Wemby's weight in sneakers. I guess he's almost 7 feet, 5 inches tall. As you said, probably the biggest player in the NBA now, but he's very thin. Do you see maybe Coach Popovich really taking some protective measures so he doesn't get hurt?
Yeah, I think, you know, with an investment like Wemby, you have to make sure you put the right pieces around him in order for him to succeed. He really hasn't been a true five, right? He's not really a center. He doesn't really bang in the post. That's not his style. I think in order for you to get the best production out of him, you have to play him at a stretch four and have an actual orthodox center play in there so he can kind of bang with the Jokic's and the Embiid's of the world where you let Wemby do what he does best and stretch your floor out. I think that'll be where he will be the most successful. And also having him play that stretch four position will allow him to come off the ball and play help defense for those players as well to be able to help with shot blocking and rim protecting.
Mukbil, talk a little bit about Coach Popovich's influence. He's already developed and produced two Hall of Fame big men in Tim Duncan and David Robinson. He has coached several international players on the Spurs, including Manu Ginobili from Argentina. You know, he's quite familiar with this international presence. How do you see him sort of mentoring Wemby?
I think he couldn't have went to a better organization, honestly. There's a picture of Wemby when he was a kid with a Tony Parker jersey as a child, you know. So it just goes to show you the level of influence that the Spurs have had on the international game, because they were, you know, they went international really fast. A lot of the other teams always had stars that were more American-born. And it kind of shows you that this kid really went to the San Antonio Spurs. You know, obviously, obviously they lucked out in the lottery, but he couldn't have went to a better team with a better coach like Popovich, and he's going to kind of just put him in the best possible position to win and be successful. As an organization, the San Antonio Spurs have shown year in and year out that, you know, they are one of the few franchises in the league that have a no-nonsense policy. You come in there, you do work, you put your head down, and you will be successful if you listen, and obviously, you know, you can stay healthy.
What about Wemby's family? They've been a big influence. His parents, both athletes. I was researching a little bit. His mother coaches basketball. His grandparents both played basketball, and we saw his brother and sister there on draft night.
Seems like, you know, he's very grounded. He has an amazing foundational, he has a great foundation within his family. Like you mentioned, the sister and the brother were there to support him as he got drafted on draft night. The kid all around just looks like a very humble young man with his head on right. He's willing to become the face of a franchise and a role model for kids alike. I think he wants to take this challenge on.
I'm going to give 100%. All that's in my power to make this franchise win, you know. To have impact on the franchise and the fan base and the community.
I'm talking with Mukbil Yabaro about Victor Wembanyama, Wemby, the top pick in the NBA draft. Wemby comes into the NBA with lots of excitement. Mukbil, only 19 years of age, but already a professional.
Yeah. You know, the professional game in Europe and abroad, honestly, is so much so that some of these younger players are getting to go professional at 16, 17 years old. Luka, right? Luka was playing professional at 16 years old.
That's so right.
It just goes to
Good
show
point.
You, goes to show you that, you know, the rest of the world is catching up.
Yeah. Wemby, of course, will probably be the man entering the this early part of the NBA season. What about the comparisons with, like, Durant? Do you see him as a Durant-type player?
I could see the comparisons when it comes to them both being lankier, longer arms, shooting the ball from a certain, you know, angle and such things. But I think because of his, you know, height discrepancy, right? He's got probably 5 inches on Durant, which is crazy because Durant is a borderline 7-footer. For him to be able to have that additional height and additional wingspan makes it that much harder for, you know, anyone really to shot block him. And he's very fluent in the jump shot. So I definitely feel as though he has been, you know, watching the taller guys, you know, play as he's been, you know, coming up. So I'm pretty sure Kevin Durant has been an inspiration of his as they had the same build. But he's just a little bit taller.
It's really kind of amazing how the NBA has just been revolutionized by some of these young players. I can remember Manute Bol being out there on the three-point line looking quite awkward when he took a shot. And his mobility, he was 7 feet seven, I think.
Yeah.
And this kid, Wemby, basically can dribble the ball like a point guard.
He dribbles the ball very well, and like you said, I think he just runs more fluid. We're so used to seeing players get to a certain height and kind of looking almost robotic in their movements, whereas this kid is like he's running like a regular guard, you know? So it's so interesting to see the development of players, and this also moves into the sports science conversation as well. You know, players and trainers and how kids are being able to, you know, regardless of their height, be able to play this positionless NBA and positionless basketball nowadays, whereas your skill sets will show regardless of what position you naturally would have fit into.
Now, one of the reasons San Antonio got Wemby was because they had one of the worst teams in the league last year. I think they won 21 games. I'll put you on the spot a little bit, Mukbil. As Wemby heads into his rookie season in the NBA, how many wins do you think San Antonio will get with a healthy Wemby in the lineup?
Yeah, that's a great asterisk you put on there. With a healthy Wemby, I think, you know, as we were talking about it off air earlier, 40-plus. I think they could be a 40-plus win team. Then within the next year following that should have a 50-plus win team. I really have a lot of hope in this young man's trajectory, his ceiling, the organization, and how they're going to be able to build talent around him as well. So I'm super excited to see. So if I were to guess, I would say a 40-plus win season. You know, the West is deep. It's very difficult and challenging. But, yeah, I think 40-plus wins would be a really, really good turnaround for them from one season to the next.
Thanks, Mukbil. That's my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabarow. In African youth basketball, Ghana recently hosted a FIBA under-16 tournament for boys and girls, as we hear now from Yawafusu Larbi in Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The FIBA Under-16 Zone 3 Africa qualifiers ended over the weekend in Accra. This is the first time Ghana is hosting the three-nation basketball tournament, and it generated a huge buzz across the basketball fraternity here. Basketball has not been a popular sport that thrives in this country. Ghana still struggles with building teams and making any form of meaningful progress in the sport. But president of the Ghana Basketball Association, Atu Vaness, says the association will do a lot more to elevate basketball in the country.
It's going to leave a very lasting impression on us. And I'm sure even by the time we bid for the next tournament, you see what will be happening locally. Because this is going to motivate the youth to be able to be engaging in the officially organized regional tournaments and national tournaments, and on their own, they'll be having their own tournaments as well. And of course, this is also the opportunity to introduce the tournament at this level to the senior high schools. So from here, we are looking at the senior high school, and it falls in because it's a youth program.
Nigeria played the opening game with Ivory Coast. The Nigerian team came up tops, beating the Ivorians 67-38. The Nigerians played with a bit more verve in both the boys' and girls' divisions. They emerged winners in both divisions, beating Ghana and Ivory Coast. Host nation Ghana were left to lick their wounds as they lost in the boys' division game against Ivory Coast for a chance to finish in second place, 68-65. Hugely disappointing, but Ghana coach Lawal Brima believes the Ghana team can do better with a bit more hard work.
I really appreciate what exactly happened. And secondly, it will boost our basketball fraternity here in Ghana. I think this is the first time we are hosting such a championship. But you know, unfortunately, our preparation was less. The time was less for our preparation. I think it took about 1 week to prepare for this championship. Then, as a focus, like we have even 1 month before this championship, I think things will be what it has gone now. So the time limit that we used to train for this championship, I really appreciate it. The boys, they have done a great job. Kudos to the team.
Nigeria beat Ghana in the girls' division 65-17 to win. The Nigerian team has therefore qualified to play in the FIBA Under-16 African Championship in Tunisia. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Meanwhile, Iron Mike Mbonye caught up with a former WNBA player who attended the FIBA Under-16 competition in Accra. She's currently a coach with the Jordan Nwora Basketball Foundation Camp in Ghana, Ann O'Neill.
So I am currently in Ghana with the Jordan Nwora Foundation, and we were also previously in the Ivory Coast. And then next up, it will be in Nigeria. And from the very beginning, this has been an absolutely first-class experience to be in Western Africa with everyone. Everyone is so friendly, so welcoming. Having me be a part of the community and the hospitality has just been incredible. At the the Ivory Coast in Abidjan, we were able to go to the FIBA headquarters and were welcomed by their leaders and executives there. And it was just incredible to hear the stories of what they're doing to create impact and opportunities for youth all the way up to Olympic level teams for all of FIBA and all of Africa and all of the different countries and teams and players. So you just really get that community vibe and support all the way across the board in all the countries we've been to so far. And it's just been a first class, incredible, amazing experience.
As a coach, have you seen some budding talents capable of making it to the NBA if properly trained?
So yes, we are here at the FIBA Africa U16 Zone 3 qualifiers, where Ghana, Nigeria, and the Ivory Coast are all playing in a tournament for the U16. And it's, wow, it's been so impressive. It's a top quality tournament that Ghana has put on, their first one ever. And the facility is brand new and sparkling and pristine and has had such an incredible crowd cheering on these teams. The support throughout all of Africa for developing the youth and their talent is incredible. You see how much passion everyone has, from the coaching staff to the FIBA management to the players and their families that all came here, drove miles and flew all the way here to be in this tournament. And it's been amazing to see the level of talent. You know, I've been absolutely impressed with the athleticism and their drive. There's not one play that goes by that they're not diving on the floor for the ball. They're not running towards the pass, trying to make the layup. They are really playing possession by possession, each one of these teams trying to perform at their best. And that's something that you don't necessarily see in athletes. You know, they won't dive on the ball and get aggressive, but every possession, you can see their fire in the players and the fire in the coaches and the fire and energy just that's already surrounding this tournament. So there is so much potential and growth that is here throughout Western Africa and the countries here, and the development programs that they have, that there is just such an expansion of talent and top quality players and teams that are going to come out in the next few years here with the sort of FIBA Africa, the Ghana Federation, Basketball Federation, and both Nigeria and Ivory Coast programs. It's nonstop, all about team.
Coach, what's your assessment of young African basketball players? And do you think the Jordan Nwora Foundation has capacity to raise talents?
So here at the Jordan Nwora Foundation, we've been able to put on elite basketball camps for players throughout Africa. And the biggest thing that we're trying to do at the foundation is really give the kids an opportunity to dream and actually see what's possible for themselves. You know, they are already so talented with their basketball abilities and their athletic abilities. We're just fine-tuning with a little bit of fundamentals and showing them, you know, a little bit of shooting technique and a little bit of how they can scrimmage and play with top tier athletes. But really, when we're speaking to them and sharing our stories of playing in the WNBA and coaches' experience with Jordan playing in the NBA, and how you can keep leveling up your dreams, how do you show up every day and get in the mindset that anything truly is possible? And that's really what we want to expose these kids to, is that with their drive and their determination and with their growth mindset, that they can show up every day in the classroom, in their community, in their family, in any other hobbies that they have, and then definitely on the basketball court, that they can create their day and create their dreams and actually go get them. And that's what we want them to be able to see, that the world is big and anything is possible for them.
That's former WNBA player Ann O'Neill. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Accra, Ghana.
Well, hey, sporty, greetings, everyone. This is Ann O'Neill, a former Division I academic and athletic All-American basketball player and WNBA player, presently a coach with the Jordan Nwora Foundation. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ann. Now let's go to South Sudan, where Juba Boys won the country's first football league for the visually impaired. Organizers say the final also marked the kickoff of the South Sudan Blind Football Federation and Disability Inclusion Academy. Demo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
Fans of the Juba Boys Football Club could not hide their joy after beating Qatar FC 1-0 in the final match of the league for the visual impaired footballers. Four football clubs participated in the Blind Football League, which began in Juba 2 months ago. 20-year-old Clement Tereka, who scored the winning goal for Juba Boys in the second half of the game, says he is glad his team won the league.
In this game, it is not easy to score because you can't see. But when you focus and keep a direction, you score a goal. But if you keep on running anyhow, it becomes difficult to think of a goal.
Blind football is not popular in South Sudan, as many people do not believe visually impaired persons can participate in a soccer match. Doko Santuke is a fan who attended today's final.
This football is a very nice thing, according to what I've seen. It is for the first time since in my life that I'm seeing such kind of an event. It is very enjoyable. According to me, I didn't believe that yet. They were going to make it possible. But now that I'm seeing them on ground, they are playing, struggling to get the ball, kicking. They're just like, they're even seeing the ball. I don't believe that these are blind people playing the ball.
Lewis Madut, the chairperson of South Sudan Association of the Visually Impaired, says blind football will transform the lives of many blind young men and women who now remain at home after losing sight.
Initially, people used to wonder, how can a blind person play football? And in fact, maybe many are still wondering, but today you have seen for yourself. Some people could say that if I was seeing it in a movie, I will say that it was just people who are acting. But today you are seeing it in the field and direct. And maybe you are interacting with some of the players.
Is born Jacob, known as Kago, is a giant defender for the Qatar FC team. He says Tuesday's match was very challenging.
Actually, the game is so nice, and the most thing that we are facing is that we are getting a lot of injuries, as you can see around. So this is not the actually the good thing that we are expecting them to happen.
Simon Madol is a coach for the South Sudan Blind Football Association. He says injuries are expected in the blind football as new players master the rules of the game.
I realize that players have not yet caught up with the word boy, and sometimes we end up making accident. But I'm sure with time it will not be one of the problems.
That is an alarm from a ball used by blind soccer players. The ball is equipped with a bell that rings to alert the players to track its movement and fire a shot towards the goalpost, which makes noise to alert players. In blind football, each team has 5 blind players, assisted by 2 visually able goalkeepers, guides, and a referee. Players are instructed to yell "voy" when they tackle their opponents to warn them and minimize the chances of injuries during play. For VOA News, I am Demo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
South Sudan Blind Football.
VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com.
My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. Brazil's six-time FIFA World Player of the Year, Marta, is set to play at her sixth World Cup after being named in Pia Sundhage's squad for the tournament kicking off on July 20th in Australia and New Zealand.
Marta is the queen, Marta is the icon, and just to be around her is contagious. She is generous, and she has a lot of energy. And I've said in a couple of interviews that one part in the game, the final pass, she's one of the best. So just being around her and have a chance to play with her, I think that is very important. Will she be in starting lineup? I don't know. Not yet. And the good part of that is she will play the role I will give her. I'm 100% about that.
Brazil is in a Women's World Cup group with France, Jamaica, and Panama.
This is very, very important, and not just look at one team or take things for granted. The first thing we have done is scouting Panama. And if you've been in the World Cup, you know the first game, you never know. So there will be a lot of anxiety. Some of them, us, will be nervous. This is the World Cup, the biggest ever. So it's important to bring the Brazilian heart and the joy for the game instead of looking at the result.
Brazil's head coach, Pia Sundhage, says her team definitely has a chance to lift its first Women's World Cup trophy.
We're going to the World Cup. You have the best countries in the World Cup. The 10 ranked team, best ranked team, has a chance to win, and Brazil is 8. With no injury, a little bit of a luck, and a smile, any of those team can win. That means Brazil as well. Now, when it comes to development, I think this is the key, because so many things happening in the world. And if you just look at your own country, you have to open up and make sure that you see what's happening all over the world. The limit is sky high. Does Brazil has a chance to be the best? Absolutely.
Pia Sundhage talks about looking at your own country. Well, she coached two countries, her native Sweden and the USA, before taking on the role of Brazil's head coach in 2019. As a player, Pia Sundhage retired as the top scorer for the Sweden national team. Now she leads Brazil to the Women's World Cup. Once again, the big tournament kicks off on July 20th.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
wraps up the June 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.